Hey, you can start just like I can start. I don't know why I got to start all these episodes.
Well, it just looked like you never said you were ready. So
I'm ready when you're ready, bro.
Welcome.
How's Alabama?
I'm not doing
that.
That's
how I feel every time you say welcome like that. You're trying to bring back this stupid welcome back, and I hate it. Speaking of welcome back, how's your back? You got to talk a little bit about your crazy not in your own brain revelations you're having.
So went to the doctor.
This is an update on
come on, Nate's
remember
back.
Guys,
Nate's
this
back.
Is
week six. Nate's back. yeah, I know. God, I was actually really surprised that they even gave me anything. I just figured they'd be like, I don't know. It's your back. Go home or see a type or whatever. What are they called? What are the back doctors called? I'm feeling real dumb. You know what I'm talking about? The chiropractor.
About a chiropractor?
Thank you. Thank
I mean, that's more than
totally
just your back, but yeah, I guess.
Is it
yeah.
just your spine?
Well, I guess
is
it is.
Literally just your back.
Yeah,
right?
I guess I've never had them crack my arms.
I was saying. All right, don't with the back. Let me see them fingies.
Chiropractor.
I'm pretty sure it's like a doctor of the spine.
Oh, COVID-19 alert when I typed in chiropractor. Don't go to the doctor unless you have COVID.
Your back hurts. You may have the coronavirus.
It shows up to a chiropractor. We're only treating COVID patients here. What?
You know what's super weird? Went to my doctor's office, my local one, and no one was wearing a mask. None of the staff.
Bro, people are giving up.
I guess
they don't care anymore.
Especially in my little town of Sonoya, dude. People don't care at all. No one wears them anywhere.
It's crazy.
It's so. And then as soon as I go to Pizza City, it's like everyone's wearing them and they're shaming you if you don't. It's very
really?
Odd.
I feel like Noonan is like the.
Noonan's also
the,
kind
the
of
middle.
Like,
I think it's like the
it's
middle
like half
of that.
And half, yeah,
yeah. Because like I'm not getting shamed, but there's also have people still wearing them.
But
and
like at like fast food restaurants, stuff like that, it feels like you have to. They're making you wear them and stuff like that. Right?
Oh, if you work there,
yeah,
if you work,
that's what I mean.
You have to still wear them
because like all the people.
Are you from Sonoya? Like people working aren't wearing them?
No. I don't even know if that's against the law.
That's what I'm saying. Is it a state thing or a city thing?
Like, if I go to a gas station or something, like we don't really have a lot of fast food in Sonoya, but when I go to the gas station, no one's wearing them in there. They have the plexiglass things, but they're not wearing them.
You either got
to
do it or you don't, because I went to Dairy Queen,
and they were like
every
half
worker, the mask was on their chin. Like, they didn't pull it up over their mouth or nose. I was like...
Well, that defeats the entire
purpose.
Yeah,
like, what do you do? And then I went somewhere else after that, and it was the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, guys. Just take it off.
Or put it on? What are we advocating
don't
for?
Don't take off your clothing, guys.
Oh.
I thought
we're on two different wavelengths there.
No, I just said take it off, and it sounded.
Yep.
What side of the corona stuff are we on? Just try your best not to get sick, guys. And if you do, I am so sorry.
I guess you should probably wear a mask. Yeah, I don't know. I've been bad
about
it.
I'm not telling people what to do. Do what you want.
Yeah, you're right. I won't either. That's
not
my place.
Don't try to take sides here.
I feel so dumb in it. And it's so itchy.
You feel dumb? Why?
Wearing a mask, yeah.
Oh, wearing a mask.
It feels dumb. Like, every time I wear one, I swear no one else is. So I'm like,
well,
okay,
you know
great,
that apparently
I'm the weirdo.
You know that doctors are saying at least specific kinds of masks, or a lot of masks, mm-hmm. cloth masks specifically, are making it worse.
Oh, are making it worse.
And that's what they provide at, like, where you work. It's like, where I work, they provide cloth masks.
Really?
Because it creates, like, a moisture in there, which bacteria actually likes moist areas. It's attracting bacteria. So you're making a moist little place where you're breathing and, like, you know, your mouth and saliva, you're breathing out onto it. So apparently it's worse.
Guys,
you either better get a $700 gas mask. Dude, if I had that, I'd be wearing that in public.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Oh, but
flexing
then,
that on there.
Man,
people might
I'm not
like...
trying to get into things here, but then people would think that with the whole new issue going on with riot stuff, you know, I can't be wearing gas masks around.
I guess it's like I'm prepared for tear gas anywhere I go. Like, I don't know.
Could you imagine the world
assume.
Just started wearing gas masks? What if that just became like a fashion statement? Just like back in the nuclear days, you know? What
okay,
if they
I don't
got
think
to
that was a fashion
No, but what
statement.
If it was? What if it was?
Like, back in like poor World War II London days when they were getting constantly bombed.
Like,
I don't think it was a fashion statement.
Like Fallout era. Like,
oh, yeah. That kind of like aesthetic. Oh, I would hate that. God, they're all like...
But not even because of what's happening in the world. Let's just say that like... Even if that's why it started for some reason, it's just like after that, it just became like, man, that looks really good on you. And just for some reason, for the next 100 years, gas masks were the thing.
Ugh, God, that'd be so, like, you'd have these weird tan lines on your face. And not only, like, they'd always be sweaty and getting all fogged up and your
Dude,
face
says
would be
this.
All weird. And
wait five
you never
years,
know what other people really
5 years,
look like.
I'm gonna hear from Nate and he's going to be like, man, I'll tell you what, I was at the grocery store the other day, turn to my left. This girl was smoking her gas mask, dude. It was hot.
That's kind of what happened in Japan, though, right? Like, they started, like, wearing those masks. Like, they've been doing the mask thing for a lot longer, and then it's, like, now it's kind of like a fashion thing.
As you know, we do this movie podcast because we like to talk about our opinions about movies and stuff and other things, because we just me and Nate can debate about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And you're reminding me of the debate that we had at Austin's house when it came to beauty and making everybody beautiful.
Oh yeah.
And
oh,
the reason I came up with a reason why I'm against you on that again. This lasted way too long. I had to leave and go home because like 5 a.m.
No, dude, Austin and I literally stayed up all night arguing about this.
I was so tired, bro. It's not. But my whole point is the real thing about that is why I don't think it would work really is because, like you're saying, dude, the essence of, like beauty changes all the time. So I guess if you're saying you can just go back and get
changes
the new,
all the time,
like what people consider to be beautiful and attractive is not what it used to be, and it's constantly changing. So I mean, and if you're talking like nice teeth, everyone. I mean,
yeah, I was about to say there are certain things that are kind of like always standard symmetrical faces,
but
nice
to be honest,
teeth,
but
like
big,
hair
big
changes.
Buff dudes, I don't think we're like always the craze. Like you might just want like a skinnier
much
kind of
always
tone
been.
Guy.
It's an evolutionary thing where it's like this mate can potentially help me against threats more than another one. So it's more of a back mind kind of attraction thing. Now there are individuals who might be less or more attracted to whatever, but as far as like generalized,
I don't know, bro.
Because
you go
time,
to, I still disagree because like you're saying Japan. Yeah. I've seen some crazy stuff where look, everybody, you guys, you like what you like. I'm cool with that. But like there are like some cultures that I'm like, you think that's attractive? I find that really ugly. Like turns me off. Not like a middle
what's
ground.
What's an example? Asian people, you just don't like them?
Wow, why are we doing this? I don't know how we get onto this. Somehow we're talking about your back. It just got way off the rails.
No, I want to know. I don't want to know. What is your like big thing that you hate that
I really can't remember. But I know like when that kind
of
stuff pops up.
I mean, I can think
of
like that big silicone ass thing that like Kim Kardashian, like that whole thing does. Like, of course, that works for apparently millions of people. Not for me at all.
All I'm saying is gas masks might be attractive in 5 years. I don't know.
Oh God, I really hope not, man. I will not join that bad bandwagon. Jesus. Plus, we'll be like 30 in 5 years, so it's like our time will be done as far as like that kind
you
of stuff.
You won't be attractive at 30. You won't be looking.
It's just, you know, you're entering a new phase. It's just
so
you know, whatever's new, you're not doing. If you're 30 and you're doing like the new hip thing, fuck you, dog. Like. You're old, man.
Dude, I'm gonna try to be like an old.
Are,
I want to
yeah,
be. I want to be a silver fox.
You want to be like a hip
dude. Tell
grandpa,
me. Tell
and
me.
I do not want to be a hip grandpa.
Tell me those photos of what is his name? How am I blanking? Steve Carell. Of like he's getting older, but he's looking like he's looking all dappered up, and he look like a silver fox. I want to look like that.
No,
that's fine.
When
bro.
I'm in my
I'm
60s,
cool.
I want to be grandpa. I want to be pop. Like I want to just be like old, kind of fat, wearing a checkered shirt, asking my kid if he wants to go fishing at like 5:30 in the morning, like that kind of stuff. Like,
I'm
I do not want to be
100% okay with you wanting that. You just gotta be okay with me.
That's what you should want. You're weird.
I think you're weird.
No, I don't know. It's just what? Who are you proving it to? You've been by that point. You've probably been married to the same woman for like at least 30 years.
Yeah, maybe you just want to look good.
Why? What? Why? But you.
I just want to look
good. Can you imagine when you're like 65, how much effort you have to put in to be naturally like physically fit? What's the purpose when you could just be eating ding dongs and sitting around? Like,
because I'd like to be active.
Oh my God. There's, but like literally, you'd have to like live to work out at 65.
Oh
your whole
gosh.
Body is going to be fighting you so hard to gain weight.
You know why I think a lot of people gain weight so quickly?
Why?
It's because a lot of people start drinking at a young age. In that, like, people
I mean,
get that kind
could
of
be a big part of it.
I don't drink, and I don't find myself drinking a lot when I get older.
But I wouldn't compare yourself too much to like a lot of these Hollywood people.
Oh, I'm not
like,
saying
people,
my, dude, my, my metabolism is going to go out the window. It's
yeah,
going to go out the window.
Yeah,
I'm just waiting for that day. Been snacking on ice cream while watching my movies recently, dude.
Oh, yeah, dude. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're going to be snacking on like kale chips and watching your movie and shit like that at 65.
I'm going to tell you, bro, there's healthy food that tastes good.
You're still going to die. It doesn't matter.
Healthy food? There is healthy food that tastes good.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But it's harder to make, I tell
you
what.
I had this, there was a miso spinach salad. Fucking love that shit, man. It's dope as hell. But it still doesn't change my mind that I still want to be eating Oreos at 65 and hoping, you know.
Look,
like,
I can still do that.
I guess I'll die. Who cares?
But I have this weird thing with my body, though, where, like, I know people that can down a pack of Oreos in a sitting.
Oh, yeah, I can't do that. Yeah,
I would
no.
be sick. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's my thing. It's I start to feel bad a lot sooner than other people. And that just allows me to gauge myself a lot better. So
I mean, maybe that's why you will be fit at 65, just because you like your body will not let you eat anything outside of like your absolute zero fat, zero carb, like diet.
Zero, you know, dude. I eat so much bread, bro.
Yeah, I know. Bread and beer are definitely my
so much bread.
Are the main sources of why I've gained weight.
Anyways, how's your back? Because that's the first question I asked. 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, not like maybe eight. So I mean, they actually gave me drugs, which was pretty cool.
I want to tell you guys the craziest part of this whole story, but you tell your part first.
So they basically just gave me a muscle relaxer, which is pretty normal, but it's weird for me because I never ever go to the doctor or get any kind of prescription. This is like the first prescription medicine I've had since I think I had bronchitis when I was in middle school, and they gave me like a prescription inhaler for that, and that's the last drug that I've had through a doctor. So they gave me one of those, and the weird thing about it is that it's just made me, like, when I take it, it's super dissociative. Like, I just lose all sense of time, and I don't, like, it just turns your brain off, which is kind of nice, because this isn't like a smart thing, no Sherlock here, but it's just like, I feel like I'm always going, you know, like I'm always constantly needing like stimuli or like have to think about stuff or whatever. So like the idea that I'm like, when I take this, I just lose that. It's kind of like peaceful, but at the same time, I'm like losing, like I told you, I went to bed last night, put on a movie 20 minutes in, and
the movie we're talking about today, yeah. So I don't know how this is going to go.
Oh, well, I still watched it later, but yeah. I'm just saying that when I plan on watching it, I only remember the first 20 minutes, and then boom, I was just awake the next day. It's just weird.
So don't space out in the middle of this podcast, please.
Well, yeah, I'm not taking it right now because it would, like, I can't take it and then drive because that same thing will happen. I'll just be driving and then snap. It'll be 15 minutes into my drive and be like,
you'll be dead.
I?
You won't wake back up if you go.
No, I'm just saying, like, your body still operates and does all the normal things it's supposed to do. You just don't really have a memory of it. It's very odd.
Okay.
I don't know. I read the bottle and it says you might have hallucinations, and I was like, what? That's crazy.
It's like when you're like driving and then all of a sudden you're like at your destination, you don't know, like, not
exactly
on drugs.
Yeah, you remind me also, like, you're so deep in thought that like you just don't, like, even pay attention to driving. This is the opposite. You're so out of thought that you're just not even doing anything. You're just off.
You ever run through a red light and then, like, after you run through the red light, you go, that was red.
Yeah, I had that feeling, like, I have, like, I've done that a bunch, but I can never prove it because I can't remember, like, did I just, I'm already past it, and I'm like, wait, there's no one behind me.
I was so focused on the road once, like, I remember being more focused than even usual.
Yeah,
so focused on the road that it counteracted. I have no idea. I went through a red light, and it was a three-way intersection, and I just remember, like, passing and going, that was red.
Yep.
I don't know how that happens. Luckily, no cars around, but I'm glad you're doing good, dude. I'm glad you're doing good.
Yeah, hopefully this all works out. God, I feel like such a piece of shit. I need to get back into, like, some kind of, I've got like half a,
Are you okay?
Yeah, no,
I'm
good.
You didn't take anything before you came in here?
No, I just, I barely move now just because of my back. Like, just from, like, being at your house on, what was that, Sunday?
Yeah.
Just from what we did there, like, just nerfing and stuff like
Nerf
that.
Nerf war, bro.
I was, like, I was out, dude. I felt terrible.
I have not been able to walk without pain for the last 2 days. My legs are, I don't do, like, legs.
Oh, yeah.
I do legs, like, once every 3 months, and I unintentionally did legs because some reason went to my girlfriend's house, and, we went in the pool, and her parents were also in the pool, and they do this thing every day that they get in the pool where they, for 2 minutes, as like one of the, it's just like one of the exercise things they do, for 2 minutes, they tread water without their hands.
Huh.
Keep your hands above water, okay. So you're just kicking your feet for 2 minutes. It's a very long 2 minutes, dude.
Gotcha.
And I had just, like, my legs were already hurting before I got in the pool because I did some workout stuff, and you're like, are you going to do it? I was like, no. I did it.
Oh, man.
I did it. And it was awful. And I haven't been able to, like, my butt hurts, dude. It hurts to, like sit, not actually sit, but, like, sitting down and standing up is so bad.
That's so weird. I wouldn't have imagined that the arms made that much difference because really treading water is, like, you know, easy.
Try it. Nah, dude. It's so hard.
Yikes.
And then today, it was yesterday because we're in the process of moving. I dug a big hole. And I'm going to bury, I told you this a little bit, my Thor hammer in there.
Nice.
Because I wanted to leave like a time capsule at my house because I'm a nerd and think that's cool or something weird. and I was like, I'm going to write a letter to myself for like in the future because at some point I plan on being back at that house.
Wow. Somebody is a nerd.
At that house and like digging it up years later just for the heck of it. I was like, it'll be cool to bury my Thor hammer in there that I made, one of the first like prop things I made, and dig it back up. And even if somebody else digs it back up, it'll be a cool thing to unearth.
Worst case scenario, some really confused future archaeologists find out Thor's real, and he was actually just really shit because he's got like this wooden with ply steel. I don't know.
Ply steel. It's like sheet metal that I put on the outside.
Yeah, like on the outside.
Speaking of archaeologists.
I always forget. God, I was just trying to remember what the theme was.
I thought you were trying to remember what the movie is.
But I totally fucked up because I'm pretty sure on like three times on this podcast before we actually did it, I kept saying that Temple of Doom was the first Indiana Jones.
Did you? You messaged me that when we started. Like, I think I got that wrong. I was like, I couldn't remember which movie you were referencing. I couldn't remember if you had said it was that one was first or which one was first.
I know Last Crusade was 3.
Yep.
But I could have sworn that Temple of Doom was the first one. I don't know why. And honestly, it had been so long since I seen like all these movies all together that I had like random scenes placed in all weird parts that I did not think. Like the boulder scene from this, I thought was in Temple of Doom at the beginning of that movie, which obviously it's not. And then what's it? I thought that the scene where he shoots the guy who with the big sword. I also thought that was in Temple of Doom. Again, totally wrong.
I didn't
wrong.
Know about that specific scene, but I knew the boulder, like that was in the first movie.
Yeah, which I thought was Temple of Doom, but it's Raiders. I just like all of this stuff I had so mixed up. I thought the goblet part where like you remember the like you got to choose the goblet that Jesus drank from part that is in one of
these.
Yeah,
I vaguely remember
that. I thought
that.
It was in Raiders, which I thought was the second one, but it's in this one. Like, I don't know. It was, or I know, I thought, it, yeah. I just, everything was wrong about this. Yeah, so it had been a long time since I really watched, like, all these throughout.
Yeah. But yeah, we are watching Indiana Jones, I was going to say trilogy, but it's quadrilogy, the series. And... Yeah, that is our next series of podcasts that will be going out every Thursday. And we just finished up Lord of the Rings and Hobbit. So go back and listen to those if you want. If you want to just jump in with Indiana Jones, watch those along with us.
Didn't you say that you rented it?
Yeah.
You know it's on Netflix.
Is it really?
Yeah, they both are.
You want to know the worst part?
What?
I rented it twice.
Wow.
Why didn't you tell me? Well, I literally asked you the other day. You said, did you rent it? I said, yeah. You go, okay.
Oh, because I didn't know then. I was asking until I was wondering if it was.
I usually always check just in case, but I was just like, I don't think it's going to be out. Because I feel like Netflix usually has such a limited option when it comes to like more well-known movies.
Yeah.
Because they like movies come on and come off so quickly.
Well, at first, I thought it was on Disney Plus because it's a Disney property. So I checked there first, but it's not. And then when I just typed in on my Fire Stick like to rent it, it said watch for free on Netflix. So I was like, oh shit,
my Roku doesn't do that.
Yeah, no, I was really surprised because I figure Amazon would always try
to take
you to buy from there.
That's not true. I think if I searched movie titles, it actually would have, but I didn't search in the Roku channel. I just went to Amazon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, guys, if you can follow along with us for free on Netflix, this episode is sponsored by Netflix. No, I'm just kidding. I wish it was.
Yeah, I was like, God, if they give us an affiliate link, that would be useless because who doesn't have Netflix?
Well, I just started the new free trial.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
People moving out of their houses, moving away from their parents.
Why? Stay on your parents' Netflix for as long as you can.
If you can.
Yeah. I was about to say, you don't have to be in the same home.
All right, so shall we jump into this here movie?
Yeah, for sure.
And we've rambled enough.
Yeah. What's it? You know what's funny is that ever since we talked a little bit about like the matte paintings that they did for the Star Wars movies, they're really obvious in these for me now. What they did it, the most obvious one I thought was the very last shot of the movie where the old guy is wheeling the Ark of the Covenant through the giant government warehouse.
Oh, okay.
The center is real, and then everything around it is very clearly a matte painting.
I didn't because I wasn't even thinking about it for some reason.
There's
a couple other shots
that are like this.
Because there is some not so great CGI in this movie because it's older, so I was looking more at that
stuff. It's not even CGI. I don't know how they did it, like the ghosts, like all that kind of phantom stuff coming out of the Ark and stuff like that. No idea how they did that. Because they didn't have CGI. They didn't have computer-generated graphics, so...
They had to have had something. Let's see.
Because this was filmed at the same time the original Star Wars was, and or Empire, and they certainly didn't have it for that. So I don't know what they did for the weird ghost effects.
I guess you're right. Let's see. What were the ghosts in the Raiders of the Lost Ark? Spiritual beings who inhabited the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, that's not what I'm looking for. Yeah, I don't know, actually, how they did that. But
did you notice from our last series that Gimli is in this movie?
No.
He is. He's the guy who's. He's like his sidekick throughout the entire of this movie. It's Gimli. John Rhys Davies.
What is his name? I can't remember his name in the movie. Start with a B. I've watched this movie twice.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those movies where I swear they only say people's names like once the entire time. If you're not Indiana Jones, because they're saying his name the entire time. But his name was Salah.
Oh, Salah. Yeah, not
that,
a B.
It was, but you know Salah, what I'm talking about. Yeah, the guy who like helped him rope down. Yeah, yeah.
Didn't notice. Yeah. Did you notice that Doc Ock was in this movie?
Oh, I didn't, but now I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah, Alfred Molina. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, he was the first guy.
That's hilarious. In, yeah, that he talks to like in the back in that like office when he first figures it out.
Nope. He's the guy in the beginning. He's one of the guys that he's trekking with to get the golden idol.
Oh, that's
and he dies because
right.
He's like, give me the idol, I'll give
he's
you the
that
whip.
Guy. Yeah.
And then he just immediately dies.
Yeah.
Very short role, but it was interesting. It's more interesting that he had such a short role and became, you know, a more well-known actor afterwards.
Yeah, what else has Alfred Molina been in other than Doc Ock and Spider-Man 2? Oh, a bunch of movies that I've heard of but haven't seen, like Magnolia.
All right, so I guess we kind of have to start with how we usually start these.
Just hot takes or fresh takes?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a hard thing because, I mean, I feel like everyone just kind of, you know, like loves these movies. And I really don't want to be like just a contrarian, even though, you know, that's kind of what I'm known for a little bit. But I was kind of thinking throughout this whole thing that, man, it's just not quite hooking me like I thought it would. You know, I mean, I've seen them before, so I mean, it's not crazy, but it almost sparked up a whole idea in my mind of like, you know, this movie's going on, it's 39 years old, and the way they used to shoot movies, especially action-based movies, it's just hard with modern sensibilities to really like get into them, because like the fight choreography in this movie and other ones are bad, man. It's just like none of the punches look like they're landing. You know, nothing looks serious or anything. Like, they, you know, everything's kind of goofy looking and slow.
Yeah.
Opposed to now how they shoot things and everything looks, you know, amazing and powerful. Or not everything, but, you know, like,
the goal,
even looking at, like, Extraction, you know, I mean, which I definitely wouldn't want to compare Extraction in this movie in any other way. But just in fight choreography alone, I mean, Extraction has this movie beat by a mile.
Yep.
So it's just so weird to watch a movie that is action based so old.
Yeah.
Especially with like punching and grabbing and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't know. I was a little bit disappointed that I didn't love it more when I went back and watched it.
Okay. Yeah, I can kind of agree with you there, but at the same time, there were parts, and maybe this is nostalgia based, just because, you know, I'd watched them so long ago, and some of those kind of thoughts and emotions came back a little bit when I was watching it.
Did you watch these a lot as a kid?
Not a lot, but I've seen them. Honestly, I can't remember if I've only seen them once or twice before this.
Funnily enough, I have a weird kind of thing because I watched these movies pretty young. And when I saw Raiders, I was like fucking terrified of the face melting.
I was so scared, and that's what
I
want to talk about
too. This has kind of almost like a negative connotation as far as nostalgia goes. Like, I did not have like a relationship with it like that.
I remember watching them and really liking them when I was younger, but those specific parts did scare me. And I for some reason I was able to have a good connotation watching it back to go like, it's funny, this part used to scare me. I've grown as, you know, a film goer watcher. Like, I can, and just as a human, I'm not going to be terrified of this.
Yeah, I was about to say, you're not eight, so yeah, it's not all that scary.
I think I honestly remember too at the very end of this when Indiana Jones was like, when they opened up the ark and they were like, yeah, don't look at her ever. I think I remember like, I can't look, I'm going to die. Like, I think I don't remember very clearly how the face of like the ghost and everything actually looked, because I don't know if I've ever seen it before.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I ever watched the screen at those moments.
Yeah, that was kind of new to me. I was like, man, I didn't think that they actually showed what came out of the box. I figured that they only showed the reactions of the people whose face got melted, which is kind of weird that, like, because I thought all of their faces got melted off, but really it's just like the main three guys. And then the other one just gets
explodes.
The other guys, one guy's head just full on explodes. And then the other guys just get like pierced through.
Yeah.
Like by some kind of weird, I don't know, God ghost or something.
Well, like they showed it at the beginning of the movie. They were like, oh, let's see a picture of the Ark of the Covenant. Do you have a picture? He's like, yeah. And there was one beam of light kind of going down, I think hitting some people. And he's like, what's that? He's like, I don't know. Lightning, fire, the wrath of God. So it was that beam of light.
Yeah.
So it's that's why they
showed
that. It's
strange that, like, because the Ark of the Covenant is supposed to be just like the box that they put the original Ten Commandments in, right?
Yep.
So why, if you open and look at that, does God smite you down? I never really understood that. So
I don't know what...
And it's not really this movie's responsibility to explain that.
Well, here's what's interesting to me is I think that at the end of... So if you notice, which I don't care if we jump around. I've tried to do this podcast where I save stuff for later, but I want to be able to just say it before I forget it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting because the Ark of the Covenant, the power of the Ark, burns off like the Nazi symbol on the outside of the box.
Yeah. And I did notice that, like all the writing and stuff was burned, yeah.
And the Nazi symbol specifically. Mm-hmm. And there was a burn in right in that area, but nowhere else. And then at the end, it killed all the Nazis, and he's like, close your eyes. And so I'm like, okay, but if he opened his eyes, would they have actually died? Or did they just kill the Nazis?
So it's just an anti-Nazi box.
Well, is it an anti, like, is it like a judgment box? Like, you know what I mean? Like a God judgment, kind of like, if you are using this for the wrong reasons and you push it too far, which obviously opening it is pushing it too far, you're going to get the wrath of God.
Bro,
you know what I'm saying?
Just following orders. You know what I mean?
They're Nazis. So my thing is like, it burned off the Nazis. Like, okay, cool. God doesn't like Nazis. You know what I'm saying? So like,
but then it's okay with being put away inside a U.S. government facility. So I guess the U.S. has got God on our side. Sorry, boy.
But they put it away. Sorry, see, the issue was you can hold it, you can use it, but it's not use it, but hold it. But when you start using it for
well, no,
because
they put
power,
it in a Nazi box and the Nazi lettering got burned off. They put it in a U.S. government box that said U.S. government top secret. It didn't get burned off.
Right, but also these movies were made at the point where obviously this is centering around, you know, Nazis and stuff like that, and the U.S. government doing good and Nazis are bad, obviously. And I think we can all agree Nazis are still bad. but my point is, like,
I don't know, pretty hot take there.
I think it's the idea of, like, you know, they're putting it away, and the U.S. government isn't supposed to stand for, like, you know, it's supposed to stand for, you know, good stuff or whatever, whereas Nazis are, like, at least especially now, known for doing lots of bad things and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's not about, it's just they put it away in a box in a warehouse. They weren't trying to use this power, whereas the Nazis are trying to use the power for bad.
Right.
So it smites everybody down.
I thought that they were only almost going to make a, at the very end, when like it's Indiana Jones and a couple of other, like, you know, U.S. state, you know, guys or whatever, and they're talking about what they're going to do with it. They said it needs to be researched, and we got our top men like researching it. I thought they were going to make like the correlation, like, wait, did the Ark of the Covenant, like, Covenant, was that involved in like the Manhattan Project? Like, I don't know why I made that correlation in my head, because they were saying how powerful of a tool it was, and I was like, they made the bombs out of it, and I don't know why I thought, but no, I don't think that's what they were trying to say. It would be cool though, interesting.
I mean,
thought.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I think this movie, I think I actually liked it more the second time I watched it, because I watched it twice in the last couple days. And I think it was because I went in with expectations of liking it even more. And then, as in, like, the first time I watched it, because I remember liking them a lot from, you know, the last time I watched them when I was younger. And then, so I wanted that. And then this time, I was just really able to enjoy the movie for it. It kind of what it is. Not necessarily saying, well, I know it's going to be bad, so I'll just take the good and make sure I enjoy the good parts, because I don't think it's a bad movie at all. And I think that it is important that and some part of me is, I think I may have said in the past that some part of me is like, well, I don't know if you should, if it's bad, it's bad. If it's good, it's good. But at the same time, I do think it's really important to understand when they made this movie. Because I think it is important when you're talking about that kind of stuff that you can only do so much with the technology you're given.
Sure. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just saying.
So I think
that, like,
I think, well, I'm trying to even differentiate that for myself, is making sure as we go forward, watching some older movies, that, like, there's a difference between that and whether it's good or bad and whether it holds up. Holding up, I think, is a different story.
It's just, it's so different because if you go back and you watch the original Alien, which was made in 1979, and it's a sci-fi movie that, you know, relies on much more in like the terms of effects.
Yeah.
After watching that recently as well as this, it felt like to me it held up way better as a movie than
some of the
Indiana
effects
Jones
in Indiana
did.
Jones was.
And I'm not
bad.
Saying just effects wise. I'm talking about like, you know, a lot of like action based stuff too that doesn't require CGI, like two guys fighting each other.
Right. That's, you know what I mean? That's not really effects.
Right. That's
like,
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like even that felt weird, sluggish, and awkward in Indiana mm-hmm. Jones, and this one at least. I haven't watched enough of Temple of Dune. I did watch the first 20 minutes before I realized that it wasn't the first one.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like getting through and I was like, wait a minute, this isn't the first one.
Dang. That's when you texted me going,
yeah, that is exactly then. but yeah, so that kind of stuff, when you compare it to movies of the same similar time frame, I don't know. It's just, I mean, I get that. You know, part of it is that like I have a modern sensibility for what I expect in a movie, and so I have to try to like alter that in order to fully appreciate it. But at the same time, I feel like even in, you know, 1981, they probably could have done a little bit of a better job for certain some of these aspects.
So you also take like A New Hope, which you said people could mm-hmm. you could totally understand if that's number one. I think it's number one for you.
Yeah. But like
the lightsaber battle is
terrible.
Rough.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but the idea, the thing is too, there's not a lot of that.
Yeah, but like, you know, that's basically like the isolated event. But then if you talk about like, I don't normally usually have a problem with like when people are just shooting at each other, like that kind of stuff is usually okay. That's like the closest they come to like a fist to cuffs kind of a scuffle that doesn't work for me. And you know, even as far as, you know, 3 years later in 1980 when they made Empire, I mean that has a drastically better lightsaber fight in it. So yeah. I mean, when you kind of, you know, compare these kind of stuff, it's clear that I don't think there was anything in 1980 that they didn't have in 1977 as far as like they could have made that better at the time as well. So I don't know, but
I think that when you come to those kind of things with like the fight sequences and all that too, the score in this is great. I love the score, mm-hmm. and especially knowing Indiana Jones for a long time, anytime that score comes up,
it's so similar to Star Wars.
I had like three examples, not just the Indiana Jones part, but all the other like stuff going on in the background during other songs. The score.
Oh, and then some of the sound effects are straight out like they're like when they're doing that thing with that weird German plane that's like spinning around in a circle. There are some like engine, you know, fighter ship noises that sound exactly like X-Wing and, you know, TIE fighter noises that are like, like that kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah. I noticed there was a couple of them where I was like, I've heard that noise in Star Wars and a ridiculous amount of times.
Well, they were doing them at pretty much the same time, and George Lucas was a producer on Indiana Jones.
Well, yeah, I think he was a writer or something. He was involved pretty...
So
yeah.
I think we're seeing a lot of his visions in both, probably. But the interesting thing with Indiana Jones is that score that comes up when something epic is about to happen, whether that's a fight scene or a cool swinging on his whip kind of thing. Really, especially even taking into account kind of the time and everything. And I don't want to just give it as an excuse of like other things couldn't have been a little better, but maybe it's also just the nostalgia thing when I hear that music to get a little bit of like chills and like, Indiana Jones doing his thing. But it makes it cooler too. In some of the fisticuff stuff, it's cooler if it is slower and a little sluggish. I wish it was better and picked up to be a little more realistic.
Yeah.
But I think it's obviously tried to be a little more brutish and, I guess, well, with the words we're using, fisticuff.
Yeah.
That doesn't excuse some of the parts that just weren't, you know, as I guess you could say they're a little sloppy. But that mixed with the score and everything is like, and taking account for the time, I'm not saying it couldn't have been done better, but it helps. Some of that altogether does help.
I also think that, you know, this movie is supposed to be taken probably a lot more, you know, humorously than maybe we did. And I think that there's also there's a big difference in how we view comedy now in movies, or what my personal expectations are for comedy movies. Because, I mean, like, there's the jokes in here don't necessarily work for me because they feel... I think I made this point about another movie as well earlier, but they feel like they've been done, but it's because they did them when they were still fresh. I mean, this is like 40 years ago. So now I'm seeing copies of that humor, and I'm thinking of those because I've seen them more recently and more often. And so when I see the original doing it, they feel like copies of the copy. It's very strange feeling, and it's not the movie's fault. But just, again, watching them in the here and now, it doesn't have that same effect that if I was in the theater in 81.
Another thing, too, is I think that this movie, I think I would have liked it even more if I, because I've seen these before. If I hadn't seen it before, as in, like, I knew what the Ark of the Covenant was going to do at the end.
Right.
And the idea of when he's at the beginning where he's like, I don't believe in all this hocus pocus stuff, whatever, whatever. And obviously you can consider that foreshadowing and all that stuff. And then it you see it burn off the Nazi thing, which is the symbol you kind of see of it doing stuff.
I would say the first magical thing would be the Staff of Ra in the map room. Like, it creates like a laser beam. I know it's like focused light, but like, It's more than focused light.
But I am also more thinking as far as what the arc does. But specific. But so you see that the Ark of the Covenant slowly starts to do stuff, and I think as a viewer you're like, okay. And then at the end where it kind of unleashes, probably would have been even cooler if we didn't know it was gonna happen. Like watching that kind of arc and then Indiana Jones going through that and all that kind of stuff, I think would have been cool. What I really think was done really well, there are a couple spots that could have been done better, but I did really like the car chase when he had to get into the truck with the Ark of the Covenant.
Sorry.
Oh no. God.
Yes. So that was a pretty insane thing where he gets on a horse and then he used the horse to get on the thing. Yeah,
all that stuff was cool. Yeah, like that was pretty well done.
I like that. That was.
I'm just trying to bring up more action stuff. It's not just like punching
that wasn't,
and stuff.
So yeah, I mean, and a lot of that was super practical. I thought it was really funny that like there's an earlier bit where he's chasing down the girl whose name I can't remember and
Marion.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And they have her in a basket, and they put the basket on a truck full of guns and like grenades and stuff like that. And he finds the truck, and he shoots the two guys in the front. The truck flips over and then just explodes. And I was like, why did it explode? He shot two bullets at the truck that had guns in it. I don't think that would just explode.
Well, it had explosives in it.
Well, sure, but like, guns, but yes. You know, you shoot two shots at the front of a truck, it's probably not going to explode.
Right. But you said guns, but I'm just saying there were explosives in it, so don't forget that part.
Yeah. But I just thought that was funny. It was just like, boom, boom, perk, boom. I was like, whoa.
And I tried to follow along the second time I watched it to be like, did they really put her in there? It actually didn't show the basket they put in there.
Yeah, it's totally just like we didn't do that.
But so I thought that after the first time I watched it, I was like, didn't they show them putting the basket in there and her like in the basket in the back? But they didn't. They put a basket in there, but they didn't show if it was her basket or whatever.
So why, what's the other reason they would just be putting a basket?
Fool Indiana Jones if they didn't actually want to kill her, like they wanted to get info out of her and kind of, I don't know, piss him off? I don't know.
He was still chasing her? Because those people were chasing her around and they weren't even really all the... It seems
well,
odd.
They knew that, once that she was in the basket, they knew that he was chasing
her. I guess
so,
but I mean, you know, he's just one guy. They shouldn't be like that afraid that they'd have to set that up, and you know what I mean?
I mean, but he's Indiana Jones, and the guy that was hired them. I like it. I mean, I'm going to give this a little bit of this cool, I don't want to say cowboy, but I don't even want to say mythical, but I guess mythical essence to this guy of like, you know, he is the dude in the
it's
fedora.
Like a folk
this,
legend kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, it's cool. Bit, and yeah. So like, he is that guy. The guy that basically hired those people to go get him was one of his arch nemesis. What was his name?
Oh, I know. It's the French guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Belloc.
Yes.
So the idea of, it's just one guy, but it's Indiana Jones. I like that. So I'm cool if they are a little afraid of him, even if they're going after him.
Yeah, I just think that the basket swap is a bit of a stretch.
Well, he lost sight of the basket, and you never knew after it was picked up which one she was actually in.
It's just no reason for them to be loading any other basket into the back.
Again, it could just be to throw him off, to piss him off, whatever. I'm not really upset with that. It's an interesting little thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a little thing. It's nothing to, you know, get, you know, lost in. But
I do want to mention again, and we're jumping all over the place, when we were talking about the action scene where he's driving the Ark, or they're driving the Ark away on the truck. He goes after it on the horse, then gets in control of it and is fighting the people on there, right?
Right.
So that action shot of where he gets thrown out the front windshield and grabs onto the like front part or whatever.
Yeah,
and he basically tries to ram him into the other car, so he goes underneath the car.
Yeah.
Was like a practical stunt that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at it, and I don't remember where I saw this in some video, but there the shot where it's showing him underneath the car, like going down it,
yeah.
There's a trench dugout in between the tires,
oh.
Just so, ever so slightly, because there's not enough room for a human body underneath that car.
They dug out
a trench, and the guy driving it had to make sure the tires stayed on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
And while he could go down it, because he's in a trench as right. He goes down. That's crazy.
I thought I could see him picking up the stunt stuff, man, sand.
In that scene, yeah. I have a high appreciation for. Whew. People jumping off of that truck. I don't know how fast it was actually going. With camera tricks, you can make it look going faster than
yeah,
it actually
is. Yeah, it was probably going like
but
30
still,
miles
man, some
an
people
hour.
Were rolling down some steep hills, yeah. Bro. Like crazy rock hills when they were jumping off that thing. So I applaud that. That was very good stunt work, especially on that scene. That's probably my favorite like stunt scene.
Yeah. From
it
the
was
thing.
Better than
yeah.
all the fighting and stuff to me. I think you would agree, but I
yeah,
like that scene.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I didn't hate the part where the plane's like doing donuts just because it's kind of a silly scene in general. Although I'll be honest, this movie is rated PG and it has
is
some
it really?
Pretty non-PG
oh, yeah.
elements.
It would
in
not
it, man.
Be PG now.
I know. It's
not
like
even
guy's
close.
face melts
melting off
and there's like guy gets chopped up by a plane rotor.
Yeah.
You know, just a bunch of other like and obviously lots of suggestions of violence, although you'll notice that a lot of times they'll like I remember that opening bar scene back in Nepal when he first picks up Marion. Mm-hmm. He shoots two guys, but they use the shadows. They don't show him shoot two guys. He shoots two guys from a shadow perspective. Like, you know, if you see him up against the shadows up against the wall, you see bang, bang, and the two shadows fall. And I was like, I wonder if that was a rating thing. I know he shoots other people directly, but like, why else show it in that weird perspective?
Cool camera, you know, stuff, do different stuff. Which, by the way, you mentioned that I really did like some of the entrances, kind of going off that legend that he kind of is, like the
yeah,
shadows
he had one
where
that
he entrance,
like he's just a shadow when he walks in,
like when he first sees Marion in this
yeah,
movie
yeah.
for the first time. I thought that's really cool. And the way she said his name, I am a sucker for that kind of stuff. She's like Indiana Jones. I was like, this is a cool like I don't know. I just like
I
that stuff.
I did really like in that scene where he's got his face down on the bar because the guy just slammed him into it, and she's behind it, and he goes whiskey, and like as a question, and she gives it to him, and he smashes the guy's head with it with the
so
bottle.
So I wrote that down as a note. Is if I don't know if it's a good thing of writing or not, because it is kind of funny, and I not enough to where it's not like bad like enough to where I'm like why the heck, but I'm like she could have just. Hit him. Like,
yeah.
But she hands it to him so he can smash. But it's kind of cool.
I don't know.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was, you know, lighthearted, and I think that's where these movies are and should be. You know, they shouldn't be in this like super serious tone.
I think it's a mix of both. Like the beginning really helps you kind of show who Indiana Jones is, this legend who can do all this serious, cool I guess, is this the first movie where they really show like a what's the word like an old ruin with like booby traps? Is this what really set up that cliche of that?
I think that this is the most famous one.
It's just
I don't think
I like
it's the
it. It's
first
well
one though. I mean, I'm sure like I think Indiana Jones as a series was based off of a bunch of old 30s and 40s like serials and stuff like that they used to make.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. George Lucas had a big affinity for those apparently. I don't know any of the names of them. But I mean it's kind of pays homage, I guess, to that like era of that like genre and that era of filmmaking. So, but you know, it's kind of weird. There are some weird like story parts of this that are kind of strange that like Indiana decides to do. It's where like so I don't understand entirely. Maybe you can help me out with this. When they're still searching for the Ark of the Covenant, and Indiana Jones and I'm just gonna call him Gimli. Gimli go and they're dressed up and they're in like you know like they're working for the Nazis. In like the you know they got like the robes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Not of like a Nazi, but like of like one of the locals. I can't remember exactly where they are. Are they supposed to be in like Tunisia or something like that? Did they say?
They're in Cairo.
Oh, so Egypt, yeah. So when they're on the dig site, they sneak in, and he descends them into the map room and all that kind of stuff, which then Gimli kind of gets in trouble, but they just kind of, like, guide him back toward the cars, and then he's just kind of, like, wandering around near it. Like, I was weird, like, are they actually going to, like, put him to work or find out that he's not supposed to be there? It seems like they just get him away from the hole and that's it.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of wanders
sneaks
right back up there. But even after that, they figure out where the Ark of the Covenant is in that dig site, and they just like get up like 10 guys together like that were working for the Nazis to go dig up this other side, like off to the side. And it's like within their vicinity. I was like, how does no one notice that you've got like 12 guys like digging up and removing this big heavy stone and like getting down in there? And it's like,
yeah,
that seemed like,
well, digging
they were really
and
just leading the Nazis to go get it.
Digging and removing this, once they hit, they were digging, so I don't think that's a huge issue, the fact they were digging, there's so many different parties digging around, but by the time they actually removed the big stone, which is like, all right, they got something going on, and they could actually maybe see like, okay, what are they doing over there? It was at night, and no one else was out digging at that point.
Yeah, but I mean, even at the same time, like, I don't know what their plan was as far as like getting it up out of that hole and like getting it out of there and stuff like that. Like, how are they gonna? I don't know. It just seems.
Well, they had a plan of getting it out of there. They got it out of there, and then they got caught. They had it hoisted up, and then Indiana Jones about to go up, and they were caught.
Right. I just mean like getting it out of there without getting caught, and then getting, because they said they were like 30 miles away from anything. Out there,
maybe
so they have to load it onto a truck and like get it out of this. It seems like a crazy plan to do without anyone noticing. And then later, it's so funny that like the French guy, Belloc, he's like, don't you want to know what's inside the Ark of the Covenant? Don't you want to make sure that, you know, you don't give it to Hitler and find out that there's the commandments aren't in there and that kind of stuff? And they're like, okay, let's open it. Then they get a bunch of guys and march it.
I literally wrote one of my last notes. Why did they open on the ship?
When they had it right there, like before they even left, they should have opened it.
Right. So, well, that's what they were on the ship. That's what I mean. A submarine ship, but you know what I'm saying? A U-ship. They addressed that and they were.
Didn't they open
on
it
a ship
before then?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Wait. So they, help me out here. They get it. They get it from Indiana Jones. He's stuck down in the bunker. And then they. And then he later gets out of the bunker and then gets onto their car and steals it back from them with the truck. Mm-hmm. And then he hooks up with the guy, with the guy's boat, the other French guy's boat, and then they're ferrying it together.
And they steal it on the submarine.
Put it on the submarine, and then they...
That's when they say, don't you want to see what's inside this, I think, right?
So where are they when they land the submarine?
On some island.
Oh, that's so weird. But still, it's very strange that they marched so far away in such a perfect fashion to let Indiana Jones and her be the only ones to survive.
And maybe, I'm trying to think that maybe at least the guy who is claims to be an archaeologist and all that kind of stuff, Belloc, that he decides, because he dresses up in this like priest uniform to like open
up. Yeah, I know.
So
and
maybe,
he finds like
because,
a perfect spot for it too.
Right, so that's why I'm thinking maybe the reason they did it is because like to him it's very important because this is this like relic that to him, you know, he has some kind of knowledge that it's only supposed to be opened underneath some sort of ritual.
But they were still planning on opening it.
In a secluded area. Something like that.
They were going to open it in front of Hitler later,
but
though,
but they
right?
probably would have done it in a secluded
in
area.
Fact,
he probably would have dressed up in his gear.
Hold on. Indiana Jones could have ended the war if you let him keep it. Think about it.
No, I guess you're right.
He would take the Ark and come back to Hitler. Hitler would open it up and it would have killed him and pretty much a bunch of Nazis. And then any Nazi that tried to get near it. Boom. War over.
I guess you're right.
Honestly, Indiana Jones, fuck you, man. You caused World War II.
Dang, dude.
Yeah, the war would have been over before it started. This was in 1936. They hadn't
but
even
again,
been
this
in Poland
is based
yet.
On our idea of... Or my theory that it killed Nazis and not good people because the wrath of God.
Hitler would have still looked at it, even if it kills whoever looks at it.
You're probably
Hitler
right.
Hitler would have still looked at it and gotten killed by it.
You're probably right.
I'm just saying, let him keep it, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're not wrong. Well, we jumped all over the place. I'm going to start at the beginning of the notes and work our way through the movie, even though we mentioned a lot of these things and just mentioned things that I haven't. The beginning when they weren't showing him the... Well, first of all, the very beginning when it was like the Paramount like mountain and they faded into the actual mountain.
Yeah.
Apparently, like that was something they wanted to do and it had to find like the perfect mountain peak. I just thought it was a cool little.
I imagine they had to find that mountain that they originally took that picture
for. It wasn't,
for.
No. It was in Hawaii and they were just looking for and they just found the perfect peak that looked similar enough.
Hmm.
Anyways, I liked when they didn't show Indiana Jones, like they would either show him from the back or a silhouette or his hands like looking at the poison dart kind of thing.
Yep.
And they didn't show him until the guy tries to go kill him and you see his whip first and then the guy runs away and he slowly steps into the light.
Yeah.
Again, one of those things for like a classic like hero trope that I was a sucker for, especially for this movie.
I might have had that ruined for me because, like I said, I watched the first 20 minutes of Temple of Doom and then I had to stop it and then start this one. So I'm getting their openings very confused in my mind, also because I was on a dissociative drug. So it's very hard. Like, the first 20 minutes of these are very confused because I'm like confusing the opening of this, and then like Short Round's also there and they're in a bar.
Short Round, yeah. Oh my gosh. Don't spoil any of this for me, because I've almost completely forgotten all the movies at this point. So they're walking through the jungle and then the guy tries to pull a gun on him and then he whips it out of his hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you know that when I was looking into like interesting facts and stuff about this movie, that the original like idea for that scene was that he was supposed to use his whip to whip it basically around the gun in his finger,
and then he pulls it
and he shoots himself.
That would have been badass.
But they were like, it was a little too goofy and a little too violent, and like for the very beginning of this whole thing.
Yeah, probably. That would have put a pretty dark tone hold in Indiana Jones.
And then steps into the light. It's like, dang, dude, this guy means business.
Don't fuck with me. I'm Indiana.
And then they're like, and so they first get there, and he's like, yep, this is where Forrestal cashed in, is what he said. Forrestal, and he was like a friend who was, Doc Ock says that. I'm just going to call him that. And he was like, no, competitor or something. Mm. And I'm like, I want to see a movie of them competing side by side, and it's almost like race to the, like, treasure hunting kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be dope, like a cool prequel. But obviously, I don't know if we can do that.
DH Harrison Ford.
Really? A lot. But, yep, that was cool. But Forrestal was actually the guy when they went in to look at the place and the booby traps came out, which I want to know how the one with the lights works. Like, don't step into the light. A shadow appears and like the spikes pop out.
Yeah, what is the technology there? Honestly,
love it, though. I mean, I don't care.
Even like all these ancient booby traps that are like stone pressure plate activated and all this kind of stuff, it makes you wonder, like, that's some crazy engineering they've got put back there.
The pressure plate ones I can see, I can kind of understand, but the light one is what bothers me.
Well, you're talking about like near Stone Age technology, and they figured out pressure, pressure on one thing that activates another, like I guess a Gutenberg device underneath the ground that eventually fires an arrow or something like that.
Well, you take a pressure plate, if you put any weight on it or a certain amount of weight, it sinks down to a level where there is basically like, let's just say I'm very basic here, and if you guys had a video, it'd be easier, but it's a wooden plank that then tips up the other side of it that has another piece of wood that pushes up and hits a button
that
shoots the arrow.
Device that like makes that trek all the way through. But I'm saying you also have the Gutenberg device that has to like stay in like perfect condition and armed for like 1,000 years or whatever, however long it's been, maybe more.
Very deep, bro.
And plus, if it's shooting an arrow, doesn't that mean like something has to be pulled? I'm getting way too into the like the logistics of how this would work, but it always makes me wonder if that kind of stuff. I want to see underneath a temple.
I can still let it go.
Yeah,
it's great.
Like,
it's cool.
I'm not saying it's bad or anything.
But anyways, when those spikes pop out, and you see a dead body on there when they're walking in, he goes, Forrestal. So his buddy died. Not his buddy, he's a competitor. Was him.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, and then when they get to the actual room with the golden idol, so the reason that like he tried to switch it out and it didn't work, do you think it was a weight thing or a timing thing? This is just curiosity. What do you think?
What is your timing thing?
Like he took it off but didn't place the thing on there too quick. There was that amount of time where there was nothing on there, that pressure sensor or whatever.
Yeah.
Or do you think that it was too heavy or too light? Because remember when he like reaches in the sandbag and lets a little bit go just by looking at it to see about how heavy it is? Do you think he got the weight off or the timing? What do you think?
Again, now I have to wonder how all these mechanisms work to trigger all these different things. In fact, how do you trigger a collapse of your thing? What has to happen? Is the whole thing incredibly fragile? And if you just tip off one little thing, because think about it, like something has to, there has to be some kind of agent that can cause, that has to bring about all the force. You know what I mean? To bring down a whole cavern.
Or it's just held up by, again, it's stuff held up by other stuff, like other sticks and logs.
That's what I'm saying. So it's either incredibly fragile or it's one little thing is holding back something that can cause devastating force.
Yeah, it's a chain reaction. Just like the large boulder. Like you're holding back, say there's a large boulder above the actual ceiling of the room. the pressure sensor goes down, which releases a like a log that is holding it up.
Mm-hmm.
It rolls down. It collapses it. It's chain reaction stuff, my
right,
guy.
Right, right. But I'm saying, like, could either an incredibly fragile place hold up for like over 1,000 years, or could an arm system that deals devastating force be held back for over 1,000 years?
Well, look, man, you're talking about them having this crazy technology. You know those like myths of like the ancient pyramids and stuff?
How they're like way too
well, just like they're way too perfectly made for the and how they're actually made and aligned and all this kind of stuff.
I think there's like a really boring answer for the pyramids actually that they found out recently.
Really? Because
like,
I was interested. Yeah, I know. I'm not saying actual aliens
there's
necessarily.
There's still cool stuff like you saw those like crystal pyramids that are like the bottom
yeah.
of the ocean.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Apparently, yeah. there's stuff that like. From our knowledge that they shouldn't have been able to build,
yep.
that they just know things or are smarter in some ways to make things in certain ways that are just so perfect, like the latitude and longitude of where they're placed and all this crazy stuff. It's like, how do they know that? And yet they're here and have been standing for this long, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know, bro. I don't put it past some
stuff.
Smart people.
Yeah. But, yeah, so
yeah, wait or timing thing. What do you think? What do you think happened?
It's probably wait. I don't understand how timing would work. I don't think that it could
well,
be.
Well,
he nothing
had to take it off and
sensitive,
place it.
Right? Because that's such like a micro movement. You know what I mean? And plus, I didn't see it like come back up at all.
Yeah.
So I don't. There's no way. I mean, because that would be like an actual sensor thing, like an electronic sensor.
Way to go. Way to go, Indiana Jones. You don't know how to tell the weight of something by looking at it.
Yeah, it must have been.
So they escape. The funny thing that I saw was when they were like when he was running away from all those indigenous people, and he runs over the hill and he's yelling at his pilot. He's like,
yeah.
go
he's
start
really
the plane.
He's far from that pilot.
And then it at least I understand being far, but at least be able to see the water.
No, nope.
the
pilot
it,
through
it's very,
trees and shit.
Yeah, so it's intended to look like because they cut back and forth, they can see him and hear him.
Yeah,
and then it comes back to him. And then it shows him running into trees. I'm like, what? I don't know if that was an editing mistake or what. Or something I just didn't think about, but I thought that was funny. And then one of the best lines is when he gets in the plane, he's like, snakes? I hate snakes. I'm like, bro, that's me. I love the fact that this like legendary kind of character who's
has
like
a
has such a simple
like normal weakness
yeah,
kind of a thing.
I like
a
that.
Fear.
I think it's cool. And obviously, it plays a bigger role later. Anything you have to point out in the beginning, little bits, or should I just keep on trucking?
No, I mean, we pretty much covered everything that happens in the beginning. So
yeah. Well, I mean that, or just moving on, like when we talk about how he goes to meet Marion, which is the next kind of biggest event that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only other thing that happens is he's shown teaching back at his like college or whatever, and then
yeah.
he gets tasked with finding the Ark before the Nazis do.
Right.
Well,
the weird thing of when he was teaching in his classroom and all the girls were swooning over him, and that girl
has love you
on
her
eyelids.
That's so fucking weird. Who thinks of that?
At least he's like the same way. He's like, that's weird. Like,
yeah.
I kind of love that it's so weird. He's like, what is going on?
Who would think that would work?
It's hilarious. And then the man who like falls over drinking in that like drinking contest where you first meet Marion.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. That was a good little gag. Just the way he like smiles and was like, and just eats it when they think he's totally fine.
I guess
fine.
It's kind of like foreshadowing because she ends up trying to use drinking to like escape later, even though it doesn't really work. What's it? I do think it's weird that like when they show Indiana in adventure mode, he's got no glasses and a hat. But when he's in smart archaeologist mode, he has no hat and glasses on. Have you noticed that? Like anytime he's like trying to explain or decipher something, he's like glasses on, no hat. But then as soon as it's over, off with glasses, back on with the hat. I'm in adventure mode.
So he did have his glasses on at some point when he was meeting with Gimli Man.
Yeah,
and they were
yeah.
talking about the staff
he was doing
and looking
like
at
smart
it.
Archaeologist stuff. But as soon as he's in adventure
he
mode,
his hat off.
Glasses. I don't think he's wearing his hat and glasses at the same time. That's too much. You can't see
it's
enough Harrison Ford at that point.
But yeah, just watching this movie, I actually wrote down like as it progressed, like man, I just want to go find something like lost, like some like scavenger hunt adventure style thing. Like I'm down. Let's go do it. So that was cool that it made me feel that way.
Find something that's lost.
Yeah, like that's why like geocaching. A lot of people think is super lame, and some of them are really lame. But like the idea of it's fun, like going to find like this like little lost treasures and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's cool. I like it. So yeah, then the whole part where where he shoots the guy with the sword.
I think everyone knows the story behind that one, right? Why that happened that way?
I forgot.
He was really sick on set that day, and it wasn't supposed to happen. He just, like, they were supposed to actually have a fight.
I knew there was a whole fight scene that was supposed to happen,
but then he just pulls out his gun and shoots him, and he was sick. They liked it so much that they just kept it in.
Well, apparently what I also heard, I heard another story that basically it was supposed to happen, and there were both shots, or they went with one and then showed it at, like, a screening, and they loved it, so they kept it in, but George Lucas liked the fight scene better.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that's true, but... and then the other thing is when she dies, or we think that she dies, this is one issue that I have with the movie, is that I feel like they didn't give him, I feel like emotions were rushed at different points in this movie. Like, he was like, oh my gosh, it blew up. And then he didn't even have time. And then it just immediately cuts to him, like, kind of drinking. And that doesn't even last long. And I'm like, you didn't really show him being upset enough or long enough to me.
Well, they do kind of show him, like, almost kind of, like, get killed for it.
Like, yes, I did like that. Almost willing and that to, like, helped, die. For sure.
Yeah.
But just some of the stuff in between, I feel like they rushed to that specific scene too soon, where you should at least see him walk up to the truck more and be a little more mournful. But that was my take. I felt like it felt a little rushed.
I get that. I think it's weird that Gimli was so willing to just throw those kids in that bar to get them out of there. Like, go, kids, be the meat shield.
Be the meat shield. And then also... It was interesting when he was talking to him, though, when he was talking to Belloc, because he was like, I'm a reflection of you or something along those lines. And he said, all it would take is a nudge to push you out of the light, is what he was talking to Indiana Jones. I was like, is this man admitting he's evil? Because shouldn't you try to think that what you're doing is at least good?
No, I think push him out of the spotlight. Right? Like, maybe out of, like, world fame and recognition or whatever.
But that's not what Indiana Jones wants.
No, I don't think that's what he wants.
Belloc said that to Indiana Jones. Like, all it will take is a nudge to push you out of the light. It almost sounded like the light to the dark side, or you know what I mean. But, like, from the good to bad. And I was like,
I almost thought maybe, like, he was, you know, just kind of famous for doing his thing, like you were kind of saying. Because I don't think it's in this movie, but I think in Temple of Doom, there's, like, a running gag where he keeps saying for gold and glory and that kind of, or something like that, for fortune and fame, with Short Round or whatever. So. I don't know. I think he's a little known for what he does, right? He does it, but I mean, there's a reason why everyone kind of knows who he is
I guess. All right. I'm moving down my list here. When he puts the staff in the ground and it shows where the ark is buried.
Yep.
The only issue I have with this, if you watch it, I notice it more on the second time I watched through eyes when I noticed it, is where they show the city. And obviously it was buried by a sandstorm is what the legend says or whatever. So they show, but the actual city is in that building underground or whatever. Well, now underground from the sandstorm. And then if you put the staff in, it shows you where it is. The staff pointed to where the ark was buried, which is the center building in the city that looks the most important and the biggest.
Why wouldn't they check there first?
Yeah. Like, I understand trying to put the staff in, but before you do that, like, they're digging all around the city. The fact they haven't found it kind of blows my mind, because I was like, it wasn't in an off corner. It was in the center, most important looking, the biggest building. It
wasn't like in the barn looking one.
I'm like, it was in the very middle. I was like, all they needed to do was make it be in the corner little area. But like, you made it in the most important place where they should have checked. That was the first place I should have checked.
Yeah, and then
first.
Once you get in there, it's like very obvious. It's not hard to find at all. It's just like right there in the middle of the room in a box.
Yep.
So, yeah. Also, the snake thing. Okay. So I know that, like, the snakes aren't trapped in there. They kind of like go in and out through those like holes that he finds that he eventually buzzes in. But why are they in there? Why are there a bunch of snakes in there?
Like, I don't
know. Think about how much like food they'd have to feed all the snakes. It's so many snakes. And there's no food around. They're in the middle of a desert. Like, a couple I can get, but, like, there are hundreds of snakes in there. Like, that would take a lot of food. A lot of, like, little rabbits or whatever. Snakes, rats or something.
Guess
like
what?
That. What?
You're wrong.
What?
There are not hundreds of snakes.
How many are there?
Thousands.
Okay.
So, an interesting fact that I looked up, they originally got 7,000 snakes.
God, that's so many snakes.
And then... they said, I don't remember if it was George Lucas or the director. I can't find exactly where I found this fact. But basically, he was like, this doesn't look scary and threatening enough. We need more. And raided, I say raided, but they had all their crew basically go to all the pet stores and anywhere they could find in London where they were filming it. They got 10,000 totals. No, maybe 10,000 more. I don't remember.
What? 17,000 snakes.
Hold on, let me see. Hold on. I got to look this back up because I found it. Snakes, Raiders of Lost Ark scene. Facts. Okay, hold on. When shooting the scene, oh, it wasn't seven. I'm sorry. When shooting the scene, and the production was at 2,000 snakes at their disposal. And then I think they got to 10,000. So maybe they got 7,000 more. Maybe that's the numbers that I'm trying to find here.
No, I mean, because, yeah. I mean,
still, 10,000 snakes?
10,000 snakes is that's crazy, insane. Bro. Crazy.
I'm trying to find it, and I can't seem to find it here. Yeah, so it was Spielberg. So 2,000 snakes. He estimated they would need at least 7,000 more snakes to make it believable and scary. So he had producers raid all the pet shops in London where they were shooting and elsewhere around Europe to get enough of the slithering reptiles. And they picked up the scene again with 10,000 snakes. That's insane.
To Spielberg's devious delight.
What did they do with all those snakes afterwards? And were they all real? Because they were when Indy dropped in there and the cobra pops up in his face, I was like, did he get that close to a cobra and that pissed off at a cobra? Because, yo, I wouldn't have done that for a film. Get out of here.
Well, the forward shot might have been a real snake, but the reverse where you see Indy's and you see the snake in front of the camera, that might have been a fake snake.
I would hope so. I would think so. Because that's crazy.
Yeah. Or at least a D, because they can take the fangs out of a snake, can't they? They can like kind of detoop it or do.
And I was also watching them basically put he was putting like gas on them, and I was like, it was. I think it was just water because he showed that scene, and then
it burns them.
It cuts to the other side, and then he throws a torch into the camera, and then the frame gets engulfed in flames. You never see the snakes on fire.
I watched it the second time.
Watched it the second time.
You see him put the liquid on the snakes.
Yes, you see that, and I think they just put water on them. And then it cuts to the other angle.
In real life. Yeah, I thought you meant in the context of the scene. I was like, he definitely burned those snakes.
Yeah, that was the idea. But I was thinking, did they actually burn this? I'm watching intently the second time around. And I was like, okay, this makes sense.
Yeah, no.
So then he throws a flame.
They actually burned a bunch of snakes.
No, I didn't either, but I was like, did they actually, what?
I think they would have. I mean, it's 1980s. I don't think people really give a shit about snakes, but still, I mean, that seems pretty bad.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Like 100
and apparently
snakes.
Some of those snakes, a lot of them weren't actually snakes. They're legless lizards. And the difference is you can see like ear holes apparently in the legless lizards. Doesn't matter. They're snakes to me.
Legless lizards.
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's just snakes, dude. That's just a weird way of saying snakes.
I agree. But technically speaking, I guess it's not. Another fun, interesting fact about animals in this, the tarantulas at the beginning, real tarantulas.
Ooh.
And they put all male tarantulas on them and they weren't moving. So they weren't giving off the vibe they wanted. All they had to do is they put one female on his back,
and they all started
going crazy. Like one, like climbed on his face and stuff. I was like, "Dang, dude!"
I love how he has a comically large amount. Like it's like one tarantula is like, "You want to check me?" And he's got like 100 on his back. It's just ridiculous.
The stuff that these actors had to go through, man. That's kind of not. I mean, I've held a tarantula, but if you have any fear of that kind of stuff, like the snake stuff,
I'm sure having like, you know, 20 of them crawl on your back is a bit of a different experience.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Terrified, dude. I don't like snakes, so that would not have been a fun.
I would rather do the snake scene, be down in the snake pit, than be with the tarantulas.
Absolutely not. Put the tarantulas on me.
No.
There's two types
of
people.
I hate creepy crawlies, bro. Especially they're touching them. The snakes don't really touch the actors. No, so
apparently they actually liked the warmth of fire is another fact that I
found. That's funny.
So they were trying to film that scene. It was hard for them because they were actually doing the opposite effect.
The
next thing I have down here is basically saying I like the fact that the alcohol and scene where she was like trying to kind of drink him out, and then got the knife. And it, I feel like this movie does a good job at a lot of movies. They get in a pickle, in a predicament, and they have this creative way of getting out of it, and it's close, but they get out of it, and it leads to the next thing, and then they get into a pickle, whatever.
Sure.
Whereas in this movie, there's multiple scenes where they get into a situation, they try to get out of it, and it does not go the way they want to, and then that pushes them into the next scene. But they still win, at least by surviving or something creative. But it does not work out how they like. And I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
For example, that scene did not work out even though we thought it would. The next one was the plane. They were going to fly out of there. It did not work out how they wanted to. But then they were able to still get the arc and all that kind of stuff. With the whole scene with the plane thing was cool. Except some of the fight stuff, because I saw when Indy picked up a thing, a handful of sand and tossed in the big dude's face,
yeah,
and they did nothing. He was blinded. He's like, oh, like he's blinded. And then he stands there. Indy just stands there. It's like, dude, punch him. And then what's her name? Marion kind of distracts him, but it took a second. Like there was waiting. I was like, he didn't do anything. I was like, and there was weird shots where underneath the plane there was gasoline, and then it would do a wide shot, not wet at all. Not at all. I was like, that's just nitpicky stuff.
Yeah.
But it was still kind of cool seeing it revolve. You know what's really funny is I remember playing Lego Indiana Jones.
Oh, really?
And I remember a lot of this movie through the Lego Indiana Jones. Like that scene specifically. I don't know.
That's funny. The only Lego of those I played were obviously the Star Wars ones when they first came out, which were really good. But I always forget that they've made like an infinite amount of Lego movie spinoff games, which is just such a weird...
They're fun though, because they're. Property, yeah. I love them because they're simple,
mm-hmm.
yet like they don't overcomplicate things. There's a lot of video games that overcomplicate stuff and just makes it not fun to play. But they're just, I don't know, they're simple and fun. Maybe I wouldn't agree now because I haven't played them in so long, but that's what I remember every time I played it.
I just remember, I think everyone's favorite part about the Lego Star Wars ones were. You start out in like the little cantinas, like your little hub world or whatever, and you can just get into a massive brawl with everyone in there. If you punch one guy, everyone starts punching each other. It's just a bunch of Lego men just fighting until everyone dies. It's great.
And then the last note that I have, because we talked about a lot of this stuff,
mm-hmm.
Was the end where like his face melts and the practical effects they use for that, where they basically made like this gelatin stuff. It, almost like a candle, kind of a mold of the guy's face.
Yeah.
But it was a specific kind that melted at a lower temperature than like a lot of things. Like, you don't get super hot. And they put two like heater things next to it and they melted it and then time-lapsed it.
Yeah, I was about to say, it was crazy. They must have cut frame to make it seem a lot faster.
But it was cool. I like that kind of effects.
I know that the head exploding scene almost got them a R rating.
PG to R?
Yeah, just for that. And so all they had to do was throw a couple flame effects in front of the explosion, and then that went back down to PG.
Oh, the head exploding one? Yeah.
And I was like, you can still clearly see head exploding right there, man.
Here's my question. When did PG ratings or PG-13 ratings come out? Because it might not have been later.
I don't know if they had PG-13
at the time.
Because
now that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, I don't.
1984.
Dang.
So it was PG and then R.
It might have been because of the Indiana Jones films that they decided to do PG-13. They're like... Yeah, I was 8 and up is probably not quite a good enough delineation of who should be able to watch this.
Yeah, so that's why I guess it didn't get a PG-13. Anyways, that's all the notes I had. I don't know if you took notes throughout the entire thing, but we pretty much hit everything I had.
I talked about like the little things that I thought were kind of weird about like how they, you know, like how they had to march the thing away to open it and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I also feel like it's a little strange. I feel like Marion should be more... upset that her bar got exploded. You know what I mean? Which is kind of partially... Also, how do the Nazis
she also
know
almost
that she had
died,
it?
So I think that her... I didn't find that a huge issue because I think a lot of her worry was, I survived. She's like, oh, thanks for ruining this. She's like, now you got me to worry about because basically you destroyed my living. She's like, I'm your partner.
Yeah.
And she was upset. She's like, I'm your
partner. She was getting paid
$5,000,
which in 1936 she wanted to now dollars, that would have been like close to $100,000.
She wanted to go back, I think, to America, I think, because she was talking about going back. She's like, yeah, that'd pay for me to come back, but not in style.
Mm.
So I think it was like she was thinking of siding with him anyways. The bar wasn't as important at that point, but she's like, now you burn this down, you're stuck with me. So I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a big issue. What do you take all that kind of stuff? Again, I watched this twice, so a lot of these lines that I'm bringing back up, you might have missed a couple here and there. So I was
also
able to pick some
of
that out.
A lot of this stuff is very hazy.
You didn't even watch this movie, I'm convinced.
No, I really did. I cannot shake some of the Temple of Doom scenes, especially from the beginning.
So
they're so intertwined. I'm like, and then he gets in the car with Short. No, he doesn't. Short Round is not in this movie.
No, he's not.
No, yeah. I mean, overall, it's. Although I do want to know, they show him get on top of the submarine, and then they kind of cut to where the submarine lands. And I was like, wait, did he get inside the submarine, or did the submarine never go under the water? Because how did he? Did he just ride on top of it and hope it didn't go under? Because if it went under at any point, he was fucked.
I think they actually said that in one of the facts I was looking up. They were saying that, like, well, he can hold his breath for a long time, and they had to make a change, basically. to show that it like never went underwater because I think it was originally supposed to and it didn't make sense.
Oh, yeah, that he would just be underwater.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, yeah, and also if he went down to a certain depth, his like body would just explode. Yeah.
Oh, I also love the effect that Indiana Jones kind of started with this whole like the map with the red lines like going across.
Yeah. That's a fun little transition thing that they do that I feel like some stuff has copied for sure.
But yeah, I mean, some of these things that I mentioned that I really like are partially, I feel like, because I watched them and grew up and like this kind of thing, almost nostalgic kind of stuff. Like when the music kicks in, it helps make things seem more intense, even if fighting is lacking and stuff like that. So part of it's hard to not base it off of that because, for example, when we talked Lord of the Rings, a lot of this was new. So it's interesting to see from a new perspective, which is kind of an interesting thing when I bring up, I think part of this I would have liked better if I hadn't seen it. And then part of it I think I like better because I have seen it, which puts me in a weird in-between place where I think I can still say that it, you know, I enjoyed it and it was good. Maybe not as much as I had, not quite as much as I had hoped because, you know, I'm older and it didn't, again, you have to account for the times, but yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
It just got me thinking about like older movies in general and how I think a lot of the, like some things never change as far as like, you know, a good story is just a good story by itself and you can always appreciate that pretty much no matter how it's presented. But when you get to like blockbuster stuff, like, you know, the stuff we like now that's really like popcorny, like blockbuster stuff probably won't be all that liked or remembered or if you rewatch it in 40 years from now, you know, they probably won't care for it all that much. You know, I mean, you know, a lot of this stuff because they'll have a different idea of what they enjoy and that kind of like different media. So it's a little bit hard when I'm going back and watching this. I'm like, you know, there, I wish there was a little bit more for me to grab on past, you know, just the adventure and like the different set pieces and all the stuff that they go through. Just a little bit below the surface a little bit
but
more.
But you're saying the story is still good. So it keeps,
I'm saying that when stories are really good, it doesn't matter how old or dated they feel. You can always hook onto that like concept.
So you're saying
and
the story isn't quite as solid as
it's
you
just,
wanted it to.
It's just, it's not that it's not good. I mean, it has like some wavering moments. It's just that it's not necessarily all that deep. You know, it's basically just a straight up good versus evil type thing, right? I mean, you know, there's nothing really to grab onto, which is fine. Not everything has to be, but I would probably just connect with it a little bit more if there was some more stuff under the surface for me to go to, because the action-y bits of this movie, for the most part, didn't really work too well for me. Because, you know, they're just a lot of it's dated. And I don't need crazy CGI and everything that I watch, but there's beyond that an expectation for how we kind of shoot action that's kind of just missing. That's very different from back then.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And an example, you were saying some of the movies now that are popcorny might not be well known because the stories aren't great. And you immediately, and I'm referencing Marvel, like, almost like you referencing Star Wars all the time.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of the reason I think Marvel actually, I mean, it's very different because you've expanded it upon this thing, but upon, you know, this universe of multiple movies. But I think that's a good reason why Marvel will go down in history as the same people will remember. Because they found a way to make a story in a new, interesting way, which is by connecting all these things. And there are some times that even if a movie isn't as good, it connects to the greater story and could still bring something. I think that the story overall helps even the little parts. And it's weird because the story overall, and then you talk little parts, can even be one movie because you have this overall arcing thing of this universe. And that's why I think as a universe, like, and you have this guy of Kevin Feige who takes these who basically steers the story to make sure that even if one movie's a little bit lacking, people still are ready to jump on the next movie and excited and not just ready to write everything off because they know it's leaning towards something, and if it lacks a little here, it can pick up somewhere else. So yeah, I think that that's a very new and interesting way of telling a story, and it definitely helps in the future where I think it'll be looked back on in a cool, interesting way.
Yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much my final thoughts on it, to be honest.
I'm good. I'm really excited because I think, and I could be wrong, but I think I'm gonna like the other ones even more. I think this was a good introduction to, it wasn't quite where I wanted it to be, but there's a lot of stuff that it is really fun to go back and rewatch and really good things to pick out of it, and I liked it.
Yeah, this one I definitely remember the best, and I didn't remember it all that well.
Yeah.
But I definitely remember how it ended with, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So As far as Temple of Doom and Last Crusade go,
I don't remember I don't remember anything about the other movies.
Yeah, all I remember is Temple of Doom has Short Round, obviously I know that, and then Last Crusade has Sean Connery in it, and that's it. That's really the entirety of what I remember from both of those movies. So it'll be interesting to see. I think it'll feel a little bit newer and maybe even a little bit better. Who knows?
I'm really excited to watch the newest one. Even though I do think I'm going to think it's the worst. Because I haven't seen it in so long.
All I remember from Crystal Skull, other than the fact that it's aliens, is the scene.
I don't have a problem with it being aliens, but we can get into that when we hit the movie.
No, I just meant the scene where there's like killer ants, and these ants carry a guy down an anthill. And I'm like, oh my god. And they carry like just a bunch of ants are carrying like this 200-pound man, and he just like gets absorbed by an anthill. I was like, who thought this was a good idea?
Yeah, I think that could be done well if it's done well.
No.
The idea of it could be done well, maybe.
Ants
but
carrying a man? Come
on. Ants can carry so much times their own weight, dude.
Yeah, ants can carry 10 times their body weight. But a human, like, ants are like 0.01 grams.
Right, I don't know how big these ants were. Weren't they big?
They were big, sure. But I don't think big ants can carry 10 times their body weight. Like, there's like the law of diminishing returns, right? Yeah. The bigger you get, the less...
The biggest thing about that movie that I know there's a lot of issues that people say with it, but one of the things that I've heard a lot is aliens, what? And I don't have an issue with that part at all. And you're going to have to stick around until we get to that movie to find out why.
I knew this one definitely was, but I think all of the Indiana Jones movies have mystical elements to them. So, I mean, the fact that there's aliens, it's not a huge deal, I guess. I don't know. I personally kind of like this.
Keep my mouth shut.
Sure. Yeah, I was just...
I'm trying to lure them. I'm trying to lure the boys into...
Ooh, find out in 3 weeks what Tyler thinks about aliens.
I am an
alien. Are we doing a whole other episode on this fourth one?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
What the heck? Why would we not?
Yeah, that'll probably be the most fun because we'll have plenty to just tear into that one. For me, at least. That's my favorite part. I just love ripping it apart. So, Shia LaBeouf.
You don't like Shia LaBeouf?
No.
Holes?
Oh, man. Yeah, that feels like a totally different Shia LaBeouf. And I haven't seen Holes since I was a kid. It did make me want to dig holes. I don't know why, but it just, you know, I don't know. Brings that out.
I would love to, as we're wrapping up here, just to have a soundboard and play faintly the Indiana Jones music. One, I think we get sued. But two, would be a great way to wrap it up.
That's what I was saying earlier, like the comparisons for Star Wars and Indiana Jones and their music. I mean, I know they're both John Williams and very similar time period, so it makes sense. But man, I wanted to play like a couple of the themes like back to back because they're so similar.
Could we make a YouTube video as long as we use it and are using it in a way only a certain amount, you know, whatever the restrictions are or whatever.
Ooh,
can we play like
low.
a 10-second clip? Not low, but if you play it a certain amount of time.
No, I'm saying the amount of time is real low. It's like under 5.
No, I think it's under 10. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyways, I'm wondering if we can, and you also, like, you can use more if you're using it, if you're expanding upon it. If reviews or any other thing like
they
that.
They can just claim it. They don't have to have
the
be right.
Here's the idea that I have for this video.
All right.
Is playing 10 seconds of an Indiana Jones or Star Wars, and you have to guess what it's from.
Okay, yeah. I'll definitely be able to guess that because
I know Star Wars so well. I could get you, bro.
No, I don't know. I mean, I know they're similar, but I'm pretty sure I got it. But maybe you could. I don't know.
Yo, that's the thing. We have to make a video on it and put some high wagers because if I win, the wager's got to be high, bro. If I can win, bro, you got to do something
Not
crazy.
Money. It has to be like podcast related. All right. Well, we'll brainstorm. We'll brainstorm.
just thoughts, guys. But so that's the first movie there. And we'll be jumping into.
Now we'll be doing Temple of Doom. When I was talking about it earlier, I meant like after Raiders, obviously.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
The second movie of the series. I thought that was obvious, but I don't know. Kind of went over some of you guys' heads. I know. You listen to this show, you can't be that smart.
You can't think straight right now. You couldn't remember what... You watched a movie, you started a movie, and the next thing you knew, you were waking up at 11 a.m.
Yeah. Listen, all right?
I'm listening. All right, so yeah, go follow us on Instagram at That's Movies Brother, And if you are listening to this on Apple, please give us a rating.
5 stars.
We would really appreciate it. It helps us out a lot. Mm. And I mean, that's really all I got. I guess follow me at Tyler C. Gillette. Go follow Nate at the bottom of the snake pit. Mm-hmm. Looking for the Ark of the Covenant.
Yep.
And if you can
give it to the Nazis.
That's basically how, well, you'd stop World War II. So.
Could have. No thanks to Indiana Jones.
So that's pretty much how hidden Nate is. So it's a good comparison. So yeah, go find him there. And yep. Dude, I feel like I'm forgetting something. I got to get better at these outros.
Nope. I think that's everything. Watch out for our YouTube video about Indiana Jones music, I guess.
Bye.
Okay. All right. That's movies.
Keep it going. Keep it going.
No.